important things. Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, it's nice to be back with you. Sometimes it's better that we have our stay at home world than the go out in the world when we have to deal with a lot of disruption, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's on your mind this wonderful September day?
It's on my mind. Boy, that's a big open question. But I think if it has to do with supernova, then I think I will start. You know, what seemed to me, Rob, I think it would be helpful if we spent, you know, not really even a long time, even 5 minutes at some point here, hitting again. I mean, we've all read through the 5-star model for organization. We know about the directors and we can read it, but I think just to hear it again so that we're prepared to know what our roles, you know, from what we read and how we interpret that versus what all of us are expecting would be really helpful. I know that was 2 weeks ago, but we could kind of cut some of the stuff short if you wanted to this week, because we're doing the folders and I've been doing it for a long time, and maybe we could compress that and kind of hit on the 5-star model. So in my mind, I kind of thought maybe that would be a good benefit from today.
Sure. Happy to do it. Anybody else got anything that's stuck in their mind that they'd like to review or discuss about this week's work or anything? Okay. Well, that unanimous.
Nothing pressing. Yeah.
Nothing pressing. Okay.
The only thing that kind of came to my mind is I've been working on trying to do my ideal day. But I'm coming to realize I kind of need to know everybody else's ideal day so that I can figure out my ideal day and make it all work.
Really important, in the structure, because we're all, you know, organization and process equals freedom. We think of it as kind of the opposite. If I get really organized, I'm going to be really structured and I'll have no freedom. It's kind of the opposite. Once you know what work you have to do and what your schedule is going to be, then you literally have freedom to think about those calls, to plan, to get work done, to organize your other parts of your life, et cetera. So, and the fact that people don't call. So we think of it as a way of creating freedom for yourself. But what it does mean is we're interdependent on each other more than ever with supernova. So when someone is running your calendar and your schedule, they're kind of controlling your life. So you have to know, you have to tell them when you are going to be gone. So we can't all be gone the same week of the year, every year, right? We have to, we got to cover for each other. So everybody has to know what the other person's priorities are in terms of getting out, right? Leaving, having vacation time, etc. So that's kind of the big year. We've got to plan out the big year and maybe even the big couple of years. And then the next thing is, how do we plan out the next quarter and then the next month and then the next week and then the next day? So each person has to determine when they want to do the things that are most important to them. You know, when do you want to have your free time? Do you want to play golf? Do you want to do something? You know, do you need free time to coach a sport? That those are the family things and the workout things are almost the sacred things that we start with. And then we lay the other things on top of those, or beside those. So it comes down to, when do you want to call your clients? Do you want to call them the same time every day for 5 days? Or do you want to work for 3 days and then have 2 days off where you can prospect? Or do you want to call your clients in the afternoons and prospect in the mornings? So those are really important things for everybody to determine what is their best. Because once you get people scheduled, it's a lot of work to reschedule them all. You can do it, but it's better to start with a schedule. When everybody's going to be off, when they're going to be here, and then what are we going to do when somebody is off for the week? They're on vacation. Are we going to continue to have those phone calls made and those appointments set? What are we going to make sacred? What are we going to push off? Are we going to try and make them ahead of time for that so that week isn't covered? Or are we going to try and make up for them? Or are we going to ignore them? Ignoring doesn't work. So those are the things you need to discuss as a team and get everybody on the same page in terms of how you want that handled. So, and as you say, Andrea, that will, once you get everybody else scheduled, then you kind of can work out your own schedule. So good question.
Andrea, you know, that's where I also, you know, that's when I do time blocking on my calendar, which you're familiar with. So if I am going to be prospecting on particular, well, whether it be a client or a campaign or something we have going on, I will block that off. And so that's my telling you that the rest of my schedule is open. If you see that open, I use time blocking to, you know, but that helps in the scheduling. But I think one of the things you're saying too is your schedule with doing things outside of the office, like Rob's talking about, we need to know about that earlier rather than later. And then we can schedule around that, is what I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the scheduling? And it's interesting because I just finished month two. You know, we do 12 weeks and then we're then we do once a month from then on. And the team that I thought was doing great, you know, we're in month two and I think they're doing great. They said, well, we really haven't scheduled everybody. We really haven't segmented everybody. I'm like, this is month two, for God's sakes. Okay, back to the drawing board. So back to the drawing board and it's good to do this because what I found is that teams vary tremendously on how they adopt the five-star model. And who is, I just finished a team that is in month maybe four or five, and they're really good. They're really a good team, and they're really eager learners. And their roles and responsibilities, they're doing very well. But there are always going to be things that they don't have down and aren't using the way they should be using it. And that's fine. And so don't expect perfection when it comes to these roles and responsibilities. But what I do expect from you guys is progress. My granddaughter, who's six, I said, you know, the saying is perfect practice makes perfect. And she said, no, Bobo, it's practice makes progress. And I said, wow, okay, I'm learning from my six-year-old. you smile, Gary, you've got that. Yeah. You got that. You know that world, right?
Right.
So So the idea is that we're always getting better, but we know the path we're on. The problem is a lot of people don't know what the path is. So that's where the gap analysis comes in. And that's where you kind of build a mini business plan for each of the five stars. So I'm the director of planning. Well, this guy in this particular team that I just talked to, they've got 95% of their clients with a plan. Now it's a matter of monitoring the plans and updating the plans. So they've got a schedule for all of them, and he's the one that holds them accountable to that schedule. If you don't have everybody with a plan, then it's an accountability to get to 100% with a plan. So everybody would be with a different set of goals. So you might be at 90% with a plan and somebody else might be 25% with a plan. Well, they're going to have to do a lot more planning than you are. Even though yours will be updates, theirs will be brand new plans. And as you know, brand new plans take a lot more time. So that's a, so that the director of planning would create a gap analysis for each person on the team and then just track those and help those people to do a better job in terms of, or do a good job in terms of getting to their goals. Director of implementation, that's the 24-month calendar, which is, remember, that we use for our agenda. So people say, what goes on the agenda for each call? Things that come out of the financial plan that we didn't get done. So we call that batch processing. So we're going to batch process, say, mortgages this month. And for the next 2 months, we're going to do mortgages. We may want to call it something bigger, you know, liability management. And we'll cover more than just mortgages. We'll call, you know, margin, credit card debt, securitized loans, and mortgages. So that would be, they're doing, that this particular team is doing a terrific job with that. They're organized. Most of the teams that are past month 12 are using the 24-month calendar. I have no trouble getting people to do that. It makes sense. They do more business, and it's pretty productive. The other job of the director of implementation is the investment process. And in some teams, they'll have six guys all with six different investment processes. This particular team has got a pretty good job of bringing in the tails. Everybody has this, you know, if you have, you know, if you're this age and with risk tolerance, your portfolio is going to look pretty much the same. So they've done a good job of that. Still some work to do. You know, you shouldn't have one account that's conservative or you know, growth, growth with 41% and the other one with 8%. You know, we don't want that. We want to have, you know, everybody with 11.5%. That's the idea. It doesn't mean you don't want good performance. It's just you don't want a bunch of outliers because, you know, we're in concentrated positions. We'll do that, but that's okay. We'll let concentrated positions put them in a different box. So that's implementation. Brand management is consistently doing what we say we're going to do in terms of client service and operations. So 1242 and rapid response to your problems. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. That's a brand manager's job. It could be two people. One could be doing operations. The other one could be doing scheduling. Or it's one person doing both. But, you know, are we delivering on the promises? That's director of brand management. Marketing. Marketing is the director of growth. That's really growth. Are we growing? Are we doing the activity associated with growth? And revelation, their guy said, Rob, it's amazing the correlation between activity and results. I said, shocking.
All right. Yeah.
I said, so tell me about your activity. He said, we did one, what do you track? We track the number of times that we asked for an introduction. I said, awesome. And then we track the number that we got. I said, that's okay to track it, but I'm more interested in just the number you asked, number of times you ask. Well, they can't help but find out what the results, you know, they can't stand it. And then they, number of centers of influence that we talked to for the week. And then use of the enthusiastically endorsed list. Now, putting that in the marketing arena is a really good idea. The enthusiastically endorsed list can become a marketing tool. It's a brilliant idea, and they're doing a terrific job with it. They're really, I mean, I'm not here to brag about another team, but people, you know, you should know that some this stuff works and that when people use it, they get results. So I asked them, okay, so how'd you do on the asking? They said, well, we had one person ask for a referral and they got three. I said, well, that's a good start. Way to go. The leader of the team said to me, Rob, you were right about the monthly meetings with the centers of influence. He said, I knew it would be good, but I didn't know it would be this good. So he has had now, he's consistently having a lunch with his centers of influence every month. He said, it's working. I'm getting introductions. They are really opening up the world in terms of the enthusiastically endorsed list to create their centers of influence. So they follow up and they ask a lot, and they're making it a part of every monthly call. So every month on the list is, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney or your attorney or your CPA or your whatever, commercial realtor, your residential realtor, your business broker. And they're getting, they said it's really hard work though. I said, yeah, it is. Cause you're gonna, it's just like anything. You gotta, you know, you gotta kiss a lot of babies to get elected. In this case, you gotta meet with a lot of, they said, first of all, the guys that are really good, oftentimes they don't want to grow. They're full, they're happy, they're making money. And I said, so they're not the right ones. What you want is enthusiastically endorsed, but is close to your age or your energy level and wants to grow. And you like them. Because the key for this particular thing is getting people that you make friends with. You know, Gary, the people that send you business and have for years are people that you are friends with. You just can't sustain a relationship that's built on just on business. It has to be a friendship. Otherwise, you won't bother with the monthly meetings or the monthly phone calls. So that's the director of marketing. Really good ideas. But they're just baby steps. They're just getting started on this. It takes years to do this well. It's like, how long does it take to make a good friendship? Years. Years. Literally years. But when you're 30 and you do it, you got 20 more years, you know, or 10 more, you know, whatever. 20 more years to make that friendship bloom into great business. So that's the way to do it. Director of leadership is about people development, your people, the people on the team. So you build a folder for each person and you focus in on their goals, personal goals and professional goals, and then accountability for their roles and responsibilities on the team. Okay, so you got to be interested in those three things: the personal goals, the professional goals, and then the accountability for their role and responsibility on the team. If you don't follow up on them on a monthly basis, then the five-star model will not work. That's the key. And people will perform better if you show an interest in their personal and their professional life. So they want to get to, you know, they want to become healthier. And they want to, you know, do some things, you know, they want to walk more, they want to run, they want to do a marathon, whatever. That's their personal goals. The professional goals is maybe they want to get their CFP, maybe CIMA, maybe a CFA, whatever. They want to become a better public speaker. Those are all professional goals. And then how are you doing? Well, you got two jobs. You got your job as being a member of the team, which is the role and responsibility, which is part of the five-star model. And then you've got your job as a as an FA, if you're an FA. And how are you doing in those two jobs? So it's a big job to be a leader of a team. It takes a lot of work. That's a lot to keep track of. I think that's five things, right? And so every review, every time you meet, it's not a review. Every time you meet, you do your 12-4-2 with them. You basically ask about all five things. How are you doing on this, this, and this? And guess what? People will do better, right? Don't expect what you can't inspect. So you might, by inspecting it, turning the lights up, turning the lights down, you'll get better results from the team. So when you ask, when I get on there, when we're in month 12 or month, I mean, first month, and I say, okay, report in based on the five-star model, you'll have good reports. You won't be like, what are those things again?
Hopefully.
Right. Right. Now keep in mind, you know, in the Supernova Multiplier, I devote a very long chapter on this subject. So you can go back in and get it on audio and listen to it over and over, or you can read it and listen to it, whatever. It's in the book, it's in the workbook, it was in the first book. So I cover this topic in excruciating detail. But I'm happy to answer questions on it because it's one of the most important things you can do and get out of Supernova is get me organized and keep me organized, right? As a team and as an FA. So we're getting you organized and helping you to be a better, more productive FA, but we're also saying get organized as a team and be more productive and use the leverage of the team to be more productive. Anything I left out, Gary, that you?
Nothing that I can think of. I mean, I went back and made notes again upon notes. Again, I've read this three or four times, and it's good to keep hearing it, and we're putting it into action. This is what we're committing to do, and we have our individuals responsible for each of the areas, and we'll be prepared to make reports and help the team. And so I just wanted to kind of hear it again. That's really, I think, hit right to what I'd hoped we could cover.
My five-time rule is I don't expect you to really get it until I've talked about it five times.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, because people are busy, they're distracted, they're doing other things, they got something else on their mind. So you just, as a coach or as a manager or as an FA, don't expect your clients to get it right away, no matter what you're doing. You teach them 12-4-2 that this is what we're going to do. Don't expect them to be, oh, I get it completely. Why are we doing this? Why? Tell me again. So be patient with your clients and sometimes treat them as if you've never told them. And just say, oh, by the way, let me reintroduce this idea. And they'll be like, thanks, I didn't. You know, I was busy. I was thinking about my daughter who was sick, and I didn't really hear you the first time. Just human beings, you know. We're all the same. So one of the things, you guys are not in the office, so it's hard to understand the value of the folders. I couldn't do without them myself. I like them.
Andrea had some thought. I mean, that might be something good that we could add. We have some thoughts, and we're also trying to, Andy can maybe talk about this. We have trying to convert the folders, everything I have written, to do something now electronically, like we've talked about. And we've made some progress on that in the last couple of weeks. So maybe those guys can go ahead and tell you what we've been doing.
Terrific.
Andrea, do you want to go, or you want me to go?
I can go. So we have a shared drive that we have currently every client in our book has, you know, by last name. And then we've just got stuff thrown in all these folders. So what we kind of did is Andy and I went through and outlined four top folders, you know, clients, whatever, our personal folders. And then we're getting all of the people we're keeping on Supernova moved into Supernova folders into one folder so we can click it on the S drive just like I would a blue folder. And then in there we can keep the agendas and the executive summaries, and they're available to everybody on the team, and we all know where they're at. And I'm getting rid of rest of the stuff that's in there that we don't know what applies to us or clients that have moved on and that kind of stuff.
That's great.
I mean, it's not ideal, but, you know, paper folders are kind of nice. But as far as making things electronic, which in my opinion, everything should be electronic, and then some of the stuff could be in paper format. But if you have a call with a client, you can pull out a folder, and I know Gary likes that. I'm sure Tim and Janet appreciate that too, where you can hold something and you're not having to take the time to flip around on the share drive trying to find something. But organizing the share drive and with kind of a high level, my thought process was, how do I get to something the fastest? How do I get from not knowing where it is to intuitively finding something quickly? That's what my overarching goal was in helping Andrea organize the share drive. But and then including an executive summary template, so you're not starting over every time. What we're doing is we're saving, you know, you go in, you have a Word document, you open it, you make an executive summary, you save it as a PDF, and you send it to the client. And the same exercise with the agenda. Tim's got a good agenda template that we're going to do the same thing with. So we're trying to streamline things and make it as efficient as possible so you can just replicate it over and over.
That's really good. You gotta put the work in the front on this thing. If you don't, then you'll be like my other team that just still is really struggling with the whole process. They just didn't put the work in, and now they just thought they could do it by just calling clients. And you can't. I mean, you're going to get buried trying to schedule things yourself, not using the scheduler, not knowing when the 12-4-2 happen. You're just doing 12. You know, when you're recreating the agenda every time out of whole cloth, and then recreating the executive summary out of whole cloth each time, it's just time consuming, and no wonder they're buried, right? It's just they're not using the efficiencies of technology and the efficiencies of the system. Oh, by the way, they didn't segment either, okay? So now they got everybody else calling. So now they got an emergency room on top of surgery. So, you know, they got somebody having to be designated as the person taking care of the emergency room entrance while the rest of the team's trying to be in surgery. So you can't do it. I mean, you got to get your book skinny enough that you can have surgery and time blocking, as Gary says, so that you can get work done. Otherwise, it's just nightmare. And if it's not your nightmare, it's your assistant's nightmare. So these people do call and they do interrupt you, and you can't pretend it isn't there. So that's why we don't begin with acquisition. We begin with segmentation. And then we go to organization when you've segmented. But if people cheat and they don't segment, then you're just really laying. And then they say, well, we'll just sign up 20 clients. Well, you know, then you're ruining the opportunity for marketing, because your brand, which is who you are, is determined not by your best client, but by your worst client. So when your worst client says, oh, what's it like doing business with your team, Midwest Wealth Management? Well, they never call. They seem like really nice people, but I've never heard from them. Or I can't even remember the name of my FA, right? You've heard that before. And it's because you let somebody hang out in there. And you can't do that. You just can't. It's not your brand. And you pay a terrible price in the community for it. You think, everybody thinks, well, I can't let this person go because they've been with me the whole time. How about the price you're paying by people talking poorly about you because you don't call? I think it's worse. Anyway. So how are we doing on segmentation? Speaking of that.
I'd say we're at least 80 to 90% done.
It's awesome. It's great.
I don't know. What do you think, Gary?
I would agree. I think we have, we're going into the office tomorrow, Rob, for the first time in 6 months.
Yay.
Yeah, because we're allowed to pack up our stuff to move. And you know, we've had that going on. But I think if I saw some of the materials and folders, Andrea, and some of the things that we had as far as remaking some of the folders, but then also just making sure that I'm not missing something before I would agree. But I would have to say my instincts say that we're probably 80 to 90% there. We haven't yet notified the individuals that we're sending to the WAC, though, mm-hmm. Andrea. So that's part of it, too. And we've identified those people, Rob. We went through all this. And we have the, you know, the names. We know, but we have to get with our. We need to get with Mike Williams. All right, guys. We get Mike Williams, and we need to get someone to. Or no, actually, you said you talked to.
I have the gentleman's name. Yes.
Yeah, somebody. That's right. So what we decided to do, Rob, was to identify somebody in our Wealth Advice Center, which is kind of the, you know, the in-house. You know what it is, whatever they call
right.
it. And talk to that person, which we haven't done yet, get their name. And then when we contact these clients, then we will be able to share what our team is doing. And then an individual for them that will be assigned to them with through that person's name. Here's his contact information. It'd be a little more than just here you go.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And then you get a personal attention and that's all they cared about in the first place. They don't need more than the Wealth Advice Center will give them, right? I mean, their situation doesn't change a lot. It's very simple, and so that's really good. That's good. Yeah. It becomes personal then. Way to go.
Yeah, but I think we're doing well on it. I think we're doing well on segmentation. I haven't had anyone who has been anything other than understanding. Right. And the other thing I've done is I've called a lot of the people who are currently already scheduled and just verifying with them that the time is the right time and that the day is the right time and go over, like you said, what we've been doing for the last number of years.
Right.
And that has been refreshing. That's been helpful.
Good.
So I don't know if anybody else, I mean, I know Tim had some people, I don't know what he's done. He's talked to some people that if he's asked about that on the scheduling or Andy, but I mean, mine has been successful.
Okay, let's just go to the work for this week. this is really, you know, we always, I mentioned this as part of the process that there's always three lanes that we're swimming down all at the same time, segmentation, organization, and acquisition. So I'll always have in every chapter something about at least about organization and acquisition while we're leaving segmentation behind now and focusing on organization. But as we did today, I think we'll always be bringing up, okay, how are we doing? Making sure that we don't forget about that part of it. So we discussed this week, the agenda and executive summary. And building your pipeline of prospects, and then the five steps to developing your centers of influence. And I would say, if I were you at this stage, one of the things that I would definitely do would be to, every month on the agenda, put in at least one question about the enthusiastically endorsed list. So make that a part of your agenda every single month.
The client agenda?
The agenda for the client to ask, okay. They put you put on there, you know, enthusiastically endorsed question regarding CPA. Mm-hmm. Just put it on there just like that because the client will go, what's this?
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds me to ask you this question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And then you'll have a nice talk conversation about that. Now, that's the beginning of developing a potential new center of influence, right? You may have got three fabulous centers of influence that are CPAs now, but you may not. And you may not have a great estate planning attorney. You may not have a great commercial realtor or residential realtor or psychologist or whatever else. This is the beginning of building that pipeline of the best of the best. And this team talked about having the names and then finally moving it from a list of names into the list of the best, all enthusiastically endorsed. And it'll take years for that to develop. Not because it takes years to get the names, but because it takes years to develop those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the last thing on this week is 5-step process of developing new centers of influence. So let's say you get a center of influence. What do you do with them then? What's the process? Well, these guys, just like with the VIPSA, they always shortcut it, right? They don't use the whole, I haven't explained VIPSA, but I will. Not now, but in the future. But there's steps to each of these processes. And if you skip a step, you run into trouble. It's like when, Gary, I don't know if you remember Xerox Selling Skills, but if Xerox Selling Skills was the first time in my life, it helped me to understand transitions. So you establish the rationale for the call and then you transition. All right. You transition to the sale and you don't just go in and sell. You establish the, why am I calling? You know, why am I doing all this? You got to make sure that's done before you get through the presentation. So in this case, you want to establish the rationale of why you're doing this and make sure that that person buys into the idea of being a friend and a partner in a business initiative. You know, you're entering into a business venture with this person where you're going to work together to help each other grow your businesses. Do you want to do that? And what they found was that some people do not want to do this. And that's as good as a yes. A no is as good as a yes. It takes care of a problem. The worst is a maybe. You know, we always said that. So once you get somebody that says, yes, I'd like to do this, then you say the best way, it's kind of like when you were a little kid. I mean, if you've got kids and you bring a kid over to your house, what's the first thing they want to do? Go and see the person's room. I want to come up and see your room, right? Where do you live? Well, that's what you got to do. You want to go see their room. You want to go see where they live and you want to see the people they work with and you want to know about them. And what do you do when you walk into a kid's room? You look around and find out what his interests are, right? We have the same baseball player and we both like such and such, right? We both like this and you both, oh, I didn't know you played soccer. Oh yeah, cool. You're trying to establish things you have in common. That's what you do. You go and visit their store and you meet their people and you find out what you have in common with them, what their specialty is. If we were going to refer to you, well, you know, why would we? What do you do? Who's your ideal client? What's your fees? How much do you charge? What's your minimum fee? How many clients do you have? So you ask them the same things that they should be asking you. And once you've established that you think that they have a place in your model. Then you invite them to your office and you introduce them, not just here's Joe and Mary and Fred. It's, hey, meet our team and they're going to tell you a little bit about what they do. And now you're not talking about you as a financial advisor. You're talking about you as a teammate. So you go through the five-star model and you just explain what you do and how you do it based on the five-star model. And they'll be blown away because you're going to tell them a little bit. You're going to invite them under the tent and tell them about how you serve clients. This is how we do our planning. This is how we keep up on our planning. This is how we do our investment process. This is how we keep up on it. This is how we get consistent results. This is our service model. This is how we take care of clients. This is how we take care of problems. This is how we grow. This is how we manage the whole process through leadership. And they'll be like, oh my God, I wish we could do this. Right? And then so you met with them first. You met with at their store, then you meet at your store, and now the final meeting, the fourth meeting, so one, establishing the rationale and it makes sense. Two, at their place. Three, at your place. Four is you meet again and you give them their folder and you establish your monthly calls and you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. Now you establish your 12-4-2s, you're going to have lunch every month, you're going to have breakfast every month, you're going to have coffee every month, it doesn't, whatever you decide. That's the fourth meeting. And then the fifth meeting is your first real meeting. And your goal in that meeting is to bring a name of an introduction for them. And their job and their goal is to bring you an introduction. And that's your goal every month. That's your goal. You may not make it, but that's your goal. Just like your goal is to ask for introductions from your centers of influence, your goal for your game board, your goal with every center of influence. People said, should I have it monthly? I said, well, if you have an introduction for him every month, I think that'd be worth his time. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the game. Agreed. That's why you got a whole month to get one person. So if you're meeting with six of them, which is what we suggest, that would be six introductions you'd be giving. That's six more than you'd be giving now. And I'm not saying you don't give them. You probably do. But you're not giving six. If you gave six, you're bound to get a few, right? And you don't need many. You don't need many. You mm-hmm. need that maybe, you know, we'd like to see you get 40 introductions a year, which would end up being 10 to 15 good new clients. And that would be about all you'd ever need, as long as they meet your minimums. So, and that literally from that one thing, centers of influence, would be enough to generate all the business, new business you'd ever need. But we have seven different strategies in case you're bored and want to do other things.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so that's the week.
Okay, and then next week, though, we will be reporting, or each director will be reporting per their area of focus, yeah. Yeah.
Great. That's such good practice. It's such good practice. Practice on me, and then practice on a real human. Yeah. I don't cut.
Okay.
So I did read ahead a little bit, and it said we'd get an email with the sample of the agenda, the executive summary. Do I need to reach out to somebody to get those?
Actually, if you look in the workbook, we have them right there, agenda and executive summary.
Okay.
And, you know, Andrea, I think they also, there might be templates on the members only page on the Supernova.
Okay, I'll find those.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, actually, and I think we also have them on chapter, you know, we have extra chapters. We have 12 scheduled appointments right here. And then we have chapter 13, which is scripts, reassigning clients, top 100 clients, setting up appointments, VIPs process, approaching prospects. And then 14 is the folder system. Folder, self-evaluation, additional client checklist, recommended reading too on chapter 14. Don't forget about that. We put it right into the chapter here because we knew you'd need it. So I didn't put it in chapter 14. I could put it there too. Like I said, five-time rule. Put it everywhere, right? Anyway. All right. Well, thanks. I'll look forward to the reporting in. That'll be good, guys.
Yeah. Same. Right. Have a great rest of the week. See you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.